One warrior tells how he got his fighting power, his hot num. When I was a tiny thing, sucking at my mother's breasts, I took num, I drank num. I was about 3 or 4 years old, I would cry and cry and cry. I was afraid of the num. Num was hot and hurt. The fusion experience is similar to a temporal lobe epileptic seizure, and like these seizures, it provides the person experiencing it with convulsive tremors and feelings of powerful violence. Quote, as the master of num continues his energetic dance, the num heats up and rises up the spine to a point approximately at the base of the skull, at which point kia results. I pick up num, it explodes and throws me up in the air, bursting open like a ripe pod. And then they go out to kill anyone they encounter. Whether this surge of power, fusion, is with a spirit or witch or ghost, they all betray possession by early maternal beings. That the maternal being is a killer mother is clear from the violence unleashed. Quote, the Jivaro man feels a surge of power in his body and believes that he is superhuman. He is seized with an overwhelming desire to kill and joins a killing expedition. When his war party has surrounded a victim's house, each member of the group ceremoniously releases his aratam soul into the forest before proceeding with the killing. If they fail, they must immediately find another victim, or they will die. Each time they kill, they must capture a new arutam. Arutams give protection from violence, poison, witchcraft, or war, so that a man who has killed repeatedly is considered invulnerable. So entranced are tribal warriors that they often conduct surprise attacks on enemy groups for no particular reason, whose purpose it is to annihilate them. Surprise attacks on civilians by tribal warriors often killed 10-15% of the villagers, leading Keeley to conclude, quote, the proportion of war casualties in primitive societies almost always exceeds that suffered by even the most bellicose or war-torn modern state. The infanticidal child-rearing of tribal societies is generally downplayed by anthropologists who have idealized tribal mothering as badly as historians have idealized mothers before the 20th century. Most academics by now are familiar with how Margaret Mead left out how Samoan girls were routinely raped, which she represented as being sexually free. But until my Journal of Psychoanalytic Anthropology began to be published, and until my book The Emotional Life of Nations came out, few realized how much anthropologists distorted mothering in their tribes. Infanticide was so widespread that few children grew up without seeing several of their siblings killed by their mother at birth. Mead kept infanticide out of her published reports, but wrote in her letters home, quote, we've had one corpse float by, a newborn infant. They are always throwing away infants here. What is more, in many tribes, the mothers ate every other newborn out of, quote, baby hunger, and forced their other children to eat parts of their siblings, too. When I wondered how the anthropologist Rohan could report this and still insist on calling them good mothers, he insisted that they were really, quote, good mothers who eat their own children. Mothers say they kill their newborn because, quote, children are too much trouble, because they are demon children, because they were angry at their husbands, or because the baby might turn out to be a sorcerer. Sometimes the mothers even implicate older children in their infanticide, as in one Kung woman's memory of her mother telling her when she was 4 that she had to help bury her newborn brother so she can continue to nurse.